Welcome to the WJBM Outdoor Show presented by Midwest Tractor Sales in Jerseyville. Today we're coming to you from the WJBM studios in Jerseyville, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I'm Aaron Quillen. I operate Monarch Rivers, where the mission is simple: kill big deer. With us again, we have Chris Walker, man of many talents, formerly talking about Team Radical. Chris, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
Yeah, man. Really appreciated what you had to say about what you're doing with Team Radical. I got to say, it's awesome to know that some guys from here in Central Illinois are doing so great on social media and able to, you know, make a difference in the hunting industry.
We would have never guessed we would have been where we are now. I know, a couple years ago. It doesn't take too long. I mean,
you're approaching just an incredible following on you know, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. I mean, you got the plaque. That's big time. Yeah. 100,000 subscribers on YouTube.
Yeah. Like I said, that last 500 seemed like it took forever.
Right. That's
plus
awesome.
500 minus 500.
And so outside of Team Radical, you're also doing some content, some filming. Tell us a little bit more about that.
So the Whitetail Group, Bobby Kendall runs that, and I've been doing some content creation for them, doing some video editing. And Bobby is an excellent hunter. I mean, big buck whitetail hunter. He actually moved here from New York to be a hunting guide and was a hunting guide for several years before getting into the real estate industry. And he also does consulting, and he basically built this brand, the Whitetail Group, and they have some heavy hitters under their group. Lee Lukoski's a part, Toby Stay, he's a realtor with the Land Guys, and Mark Lester has done some consults for them. But when it comes down to it, I've got to know Bobby the most through filming and editing some of his hunts, and he had an awesome season. We did a series where I followed him as he built out his personal farm, and we called it the developed versus the undeveloped farm series. The developed farm was he bought this parcel, I want to say it was like 60 acres or so, and he basically pulled out all the stops, did everything you could possibly do to make it as good as possible with food, access, egress, ingress, everything. And he had an opportunity at his target buck the first day he went and hunted his new farm.
Oh my gosh.
And I was actually going to be there filming him that day, but had another guy that had bought a farm from the Whitetail Group, and he had a 200-inch deer that he was chasing, and I just so worked out that I was going to film that guy, and Justin was going to go film Bobby that day. And they had this incredible encounter. He shot the deer. He comes in off this clover plot and behind two other really nice deer. And then he has those trecoys with the rope hanging down. And then this 170-plus class bucks just hitting the rope, just brushing it with his face, and they were caught in a predicament of, okay, well, now how do we open the window to get him shot? So it was pretty challenging for them. And anyways, he made a marginal shot, didn't kill that deer that day, but ended up catching up with him later on. And so got that whole video knocked out of him killing that deer on the developed farm. And then he had another farm that was a lease, and he basically couldn't do any development to it. Really, I think the farmer allowed him to buy 0.6 acres back of soybeans. Okay. And so I went there and helped him hang some tree stands, mapped out where to put the beans and everything. And he documented this whole thing, and I filmed him along the way. And he was able to kill, I think it was another mid-70s buck off that farm. And he basically just showed you how much more efficient you could be on a fully developed farm for whitetails versus just hanging hunting and just going at it based on what your camera intel shows you, which he was way more efficient on camera intel on the developed farm. So that was really eye-opening for me to see, and I learned a lot from him just being on the ground with him for those hunts and just seeing how they played out. It just you know, there's some guys that really think like a deer and know how deer think. And, you know, Kyle Harmon's one of those guys too. The more you're around people like that and you pick up on stuff like that, I'm sure you've seen it the same way where you can learn a lot real quick.
100%. So the consults that you're talking about these guys doing.
Uh-huh.
Last year I had a guy from actually Buck Commander, the guy that does the Buck Commander like habitat management.
Yep.
Come out, and I paid him because I've been doing this so long. I just like,
sometimes it's good just to get an outside perspective. Just
yeah. It's like, all right, I've been doing this for 20 some years. I'd like somebody else's opinion. And, you know, it's weird how I found him, just happened to be on YouTube, and then I called the number. Something that they put out there made me call, and his name's DJ Stakely. He's a great dude, came out, and I learned a ton. These consults are way worth it,
Where was he out of?
He's in Kansas.
Kansas?
Yeah, he primarily, aside from doing property management consulting and then the various Buck Commander properties, it's there's a guy on the Buck Commanders that's a former pitcher, and then he owns a big cattle farm.
Oh yeah, what is it?
I should know this.
The Three Something Ranch.
Yes,
whatever it is.
Yeah, and then it's Adam LaRoche.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. So yep. He manages Adam LaRoche's thing, and if you've seen any of the cool stuff that gets put out,
they have some awesome hunts come out of that place,
right? But then they also have like some, I saw one thing when he was here that they had been working on where it's like a drone goes through their we'll just call it their lodge, where it's a giant pole barn, and it's got all kinds of cool toys and stuff. And then it goes through, so guys outside like target shooting, and it's like everybody's doing different activities, and a drone's flying by, you know, doing some of the stuff. And they actually partnered during COVID with Red Bull.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And they put together a freestyle motocross track out in the middle of nowhere. And then they had been filming like this freestyle motocross deal since COVID. And so one of the parts of this little segment that he was showing me, they were out on like little, they call it pit bikes, but it's like 80cc or under.
Okay.
Ripping around a track while guys are shooting, you know, target shooting, and somebody's shooting a bow on the inside, and somebody's, it was just a cool video. But
they have those like special Red Bull drones filming all that?
Yeah.
You seen those, the ones that follow like the F1? Race cars?
No, I haven't seen that, but man, it was pretty high tech stuff. I'll have to
look this up on YouTube.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet. But the what I learned from having the consult from somebody that I didn't know, that wasn't gonna, you know, tell me yes, yes, yes. Somebody that was gonna come in and say, "Have you thought of this? Hey, this area can be improved. Hey, this habitat, you know, or hey, I really like what you're doing here," but it's all good feedback, especially when it's coming from somebody that, you know, considers themselves professional. They're going to give you their honest opinion. They're getting paid to tell you where you're messing up, mm-hmm. which I thought that was great. You know, fortunately, I don't recall a whole lot of areas that we were messing up, but I learned a ton, and I've literally started to formulate plans as to how to better improve habitat, where to do it strategically on our own ground versus leased ground, kind of like what you're talking about.
Yep.
Because you do have restrictions with regard to when you lease. You know, a lot of landowners are open, but you know, if their primary practice is farming and that's their primary revenue, you know, yeah, the lease money on the side's great, but they're primarily focused on,
they don't want to change much.
No.
And they don't want to know that you're there.
No. We're good at that. That's one thing we're good at, is making sure that we're not seen, and we don't leave ruts or marks behind. But you know, it becomes really helpful. And some of the topics that we talked about, prescribed burning, hinge cutting, mineral stumping, all these things. And you know, you can talk about that and you can watch videos on it. And you get a lot of people out there, you know, that might not know exactly what they're doing, but they're able to put together a video that gets hits. Mm-hmm. Well, when you have somebody come out live to do a consult, they're pointing, saying, hey, yeah, you got a big buck in this area. You want to make sure that that buck stays on your property more than the neighbors. Here are some ideas. And they're able to go through and specifically point out how you can be more efficient with the ground that you got.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that's neat. But
I mean, it can be overwhelming, too. You get into some larger chunks and you see an outside perspective. And other thing I've realized is just like how easily deer movement can be manipulated, too. And that's what makes it harder for guys like you and I is like, we're like, we've sat in the stand and seen these deer come out here and here, but sometimes like for maybe X or something, it's not good. And then you're trying to figure out, okay, well maybe we put up a screen, switch grass. I mean, there's just so many options.
So many. And then even just the idea of you're wasting your time focusing on this when you could be focusing on this. Time's money.
Yeah.
So if somebody's
we're
able
all
to,
short of time.
Yes. There, that's the one thing you don't get back. So that's pretty cool. How did you get into filming for Whitetail Group?
So I actually had, I met Bobby Kendall. My brother and my dad and I were looking to get our farm, do a select timber harvest off of it. And I did some research, watched a bunch of videos, and was just trying to figure out the best way to go about it. And then had Bobby and Alex Carr come out and met with them. We walked the property, told them our goals and what we were trying to accomplish. And they were really good to work with. And they harvested our timber off our property. And then he knew of Team Radical and knew what we were doing in terms of producing whitetail content. And, you know, we just stayed in contact and it finally got to a point where he needed some help on editing some videos and just wanted to put some more content out there. And him and I became good friends. His farm's not too far from my family's farm, so when I go up there, I usually go hang out with him, and then that's kind of how all that came together.
Oh, that's cool, man.
Yeah, just kind of naturally and organic, and man, I mean, those guys, they had a heck of a season. I mean, I think Alex bucked out, too. Toby killed several deer in Iowa, Kansas. I'm not sure if he got any in Illinois, but yeah, those guys know what they're doing.
That's awesome. Well, on that note, we're going to take a quick word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to the WJBM Outdoor Show, presented by Midwest Tractor Sales in Jerseyville. Today, we're coming to you from the WJBM studios in Jerseyville, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I'm Aaron Quillen. I operate Monarch Rivers, where the mission is simple: kill big deer. And with us is Chris Walker, a man who has done a great job filming whitetails for Team Radical, as well as a whitetail group. You can see a lot of his stuff on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook through Team Radical. Chris, thanks again for being here, man.
Hey, glad to be here, man.
Yeah, so you do a lot in the whitetail business, but you also have a full-time job. What do you do full-time?
So my degree is in geography and computer science. So I do geographic information systems, so digital web mapping, GIS.
Wow.
Yeah, so
I don't even know what that means, but everything in the back of my mind is saying he's a nerd.
Yeah, yeah, I'm a nerd. Yeah, well,
that's awesome.
Think about, I mean, it's Onyx is really very similar to, I mean, GIS.
Wow.
You're dropping waypoints and, you know, collecting geographic information, and that's basically what we do, but we help businesses utilize geographic information to, you know, solve problems.
So you cater to, is there a particular industry that you work with? Or
The company I was with previously, we did a lot of stuff with transportation department, IDOT. My brother still is there, and he does a lot of stuff with the oversized overweight truck routing. A project I was working on this week is for a Bitcoin company helping locate where in the United States put their Bitcoin ATMs.
Wow.
So, and we use a lot of demographic information, analytical analytics based on basically economic variables, high-income areas, low-income areas. You'd be surprised. Some of these Bitcoin areas are low-income areas. It kind of reminds me of stuff off Breaking Bad. Like, yeah, a little sketchy gas station that's doing millions of dollars in Bitcoin. And yeah, so they're a pretty big company, and we're helping locate where to put these Bitcoin ATMs across the world.
So it's just like deer hunting, right? Food,
yeah.
Bedding,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you gotta, travel corridor. You gotta figure out the variables that matter, yeah. And target them.
That's awesome. So then you also rep some different products, right?
Yeah, so I once I moved down to Jerseyville, I started becoming a dealer for 360 Hunting Blinds. 360 is a partner of Team Radical, and it's kind of funny how that partnership led. I had bought my blinds for a dealer out of Rushville, and I had a question on installing an extension kit, and ended up, when I called the company, I talked to the owner, and he knew of Real World Wildlife and Don Higgins, and actually knew of Team Radical, and we ended up working out a partnership. And then last year, Cal and I flew to Pennsylvania, went to 360's headquarters, saw and filmed how they produce the blinds, got a full tour of the facility, and we even did a scent test where we put a smoke machine in the blind and then did a scent test to see how well it contained your scent.
Oh,
and it
man.
Did very well. If you guys go to YouTube, you can check out the video and see how it did. But overall, we were pretty happy with the way it turned out. So that's how it came about. And I've really liked these blinds. They are really cool for filming out of. The windows are super easy to open. And then the analogy I like to make is like the 360 Pro models. It's like sitting in an IMAX theater. You have like no blind spots and a bunch of windows, which is awesome. In terms of self-filming, I found that to be kind of challenging because you have a bunch of these windows you got to open up. So I've tended to go towards their shooting house blind, which has a bigger window, and that kind of helps cater to, you know, youth hunters and guys using crossbows and stuff like that. So just kind of naturally worked out that this area was open for a dealer. So I became a dealer for those. And then most recently, I became a dealer for deer ponds, and they were under Earth Blind Ponds before. Earth Blinds, they make some fiberglass blinds that look like tree stumps almost.
Yeah.
And then recently, Pat Reeve and a couple other investors rebranded and are remarketing the whole line. So they're now just called Deer Ponds. And what they are is they're basically a fiberglass pond that you bury, and it has dirt infused to it, so when water goes into this, it just looks natural,
and the deer
like drinking out of it, they just feel like it's very natural. And so I was actually filming Chris B back in October, and we were sitting in the blind, and he was showing me all his trail cam pictures of all these bucks, like, you know, I think we're like October 20th somewhere around then, and they were coming to his deer ponds, getting drink of water in daylight. And you know, for the whole month of September down here, we hardly got any rain. October was pretty dry too, and I know the farm that we were hunting, like, there's no ponds that could be seen from an aerial view, and I'm like, where are these deer getting water from? And it just kind of led me to realize how important it is to, you have the food plot, but you also need the water. And if you can put the water next to the food and put it where you need to be in bow range or whatever, I mean,
well, Chris, the cat's out of the bag.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it technically you can not bait, but you can provide water. That's totally legal to do.
It's one of the few things we can do.
Yes, and we have been participating in that at Monarch Rivers as well with the water.
Building ponds.
And, well, we've been doing it a little bit differently. I really want to check out these deer ponds because we're using a smaller container, something you get from Farm and Home.
Yep.
But what we don't have is the, when you get to it, when we go to take a hunter out, we make sure that we have some gallons of water to make sure that there's water in there. Because, man, do they drink it.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. Our containers, our tubs that we're using aren't quite enough water.
What are they, like 20? Those black, like 15-20 gallon ones?
Yeah, they're smaller than that.
Okay.
But you know, you really get an idea for your deer traffic because they'll drink them dry.
Yep.
And you know, when we go into a stand, is pretty good opportunity for us to put water in, no big deal, you know, and we can keep it fairly stocked.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea of actually having, I thought about different things like kiddie pools, all of these things,
oh, yeah.
But they don't offer that natural environment. And then some things that have probably been thought about for deer ponds that a kiddie pool might not work is if a deer hoof steps through a kiddie pool, that could poke it, depending on if you bought it at Walmart or where, you know, depending on what you have. But then also farms where you have cattle, they'll definitely go through it.
Oh yeah.
So,
and do you want to stare at that blue kiddie pool when you're out?
No, I don't think somebody wants to come here, pay the money that they pay to look at a kiddie pool.
Right.
So you're exactly right. But then also the aspect of incorporating the more natural look and feel to it. So that's wild. Do you know how many gallons does that hold?
They have several different models. The ones that I've been carrying that make the most sense to me are like, I think it's a large is 80 gallons. The XLs are 120, and then the megas are the 240s. And they basically said the 240s are, once you fill them up, they're pretty much self-sufficient on filling up with natural collection of water.
Okay.
The smaller ones, you know, you can refill them. You get some of those ag chemical tanks, wash them out good, and fill those up. And so it makes, you know, filling up a large container like that pretty easy. So
mm-hmm.
That's what we're going to try and use this year. But I think it'll make a huge difference.
It's game changer. It's a game changer. I had this started out because a hunter of mine that hunted in Wisconsin kept telling me, I want water.
Yep.
And so one year, a couple years ago, when he gave me a deposit check, I told him, hey, I'm gonna go use this. I'm going to buy some tubs. And so we started using the tubs. And, you know, ironically, his hunt last year, we were focused on deer movement opposed to water. It was dry enough for it, but we were kind of pinned in on particular buck activity and what was going on while I was here. Mm-hmm. But in other hunts, different hunters benefited from those tubs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so uniquely, if you have a big tub, you've got to have access to it. Right. So like you're talking about a large container to get, and that might be one of the advantages to using some of the smaller tubs is we're able to fill it up, but we have to fill it up more often.
Right.
So if you've got a spot that, hey, I'm going to hunt this spot during prime time, during, you know, this wind on these set of dates, you're going back there unnecessarily to make sure that there's water in there, or you could get back to this stand that you've been just so excited to hunt, and you get back there and they already drank the water.
Bone dry.
Yes. So I like that. I like that a lot, which brings me to another question. You know, when you're setting up one of these 360 blinds, what is kind of your ideal setup for, you know, a blind hunt versus a stand hunt? You know, as an outfitter, you know, I could put together 10 spots,
mm-hmm.
all tower blinds on food plots. You know, I'd have my initial investment and then, you know, focus on the food plots. People could come in and just hunt spots.
Right.
Right. And some people like to just come hunt spots. But then you also see on social media how people have set up the farm. They've got their ingress, egress figured out, you know, with regard to a screen to get in there, get out of there. They've got a particular, you know, whether it's a food plot on a, you know, let's just say like a shelf, more or less,
yeah.
Like you got a good transition zone between timber A and ag field B. You're trying to get them to stop here. They're going to come through right here. What are some of the things that you're looking for when you're going to set up a blind to film or set up a spot, an area using these blinds and maybe using some of these deer ponds?
One of the best spots I've seen this year and God, in a long time was there was a, it was on a whitetail group farm where they had a It had a screen. I believe it was like a tall Egyptian wheat that went along the timber. And so you would follow that. And then in the corner, it stopped. They had a blind set up, some hay bales. And then there was a water hole that was probably 10 yards from the blind and a scrape tree. And then a natural fence around there. So basically, and on a food source, I believe it was alfalfa and corn. So what more could you want?
Right.
But I saw, we probably had 14, 15 deer at least come through that gap. A bunch of the does hit the water hole before going out there. But when this buck came out, and I think he was at least a 4 or 5 year old. And I saw at the end of the night when he came and was hitting that scrape and working it, he basically stood in that gap on that water hole, got a drink, and was just flexing on it to keep all the other bucks from entering that field.
Yeah.
And it just made me realize, like, that water hole was enough. Like, he came out across the field from us, but he just wanted to do his thing and show dominance and assert dominance and then come to that water hole and get a drink. And it just really opened my eyes to the importance of it, not only for your bucks hitting it, but your does, and just, like, they all need it and know it's there and just how well that they were utilizing it.
That was my biggest takeaway when we started doing that, is how much – like literally how much they could drink it out. They could drink, I think we were using just 7 gallons,
mm-hmm.
but 7 gallons are gone in a week.
Yeah.
And it that's a lot. They're stopping drinking. You know, one thing that I've learned is I used to think that deer would bed down. Let's go 20 years ago. I used to think deer would bed down and then they'd feed in the corn all night. Then they'd go back to bed. 20 years ago, right?
Yeah.
I was young. But now, understanding, you know, more about the woody browse that they're maintaining in their bedding areas, you know, the selection of a bedding area based off of how much sunlight's hitting the floor, creating food, mm-hmm. and how intricate that was. And now to see how much these deer are coming out into the open just because you have water there.
Yeah.
And
I mean, for your trail camera inventory too, I mean, that's mm-hmm. is a game changer. You're going to capture, be a lot more efficient with your inventory, having a camera set up in those spots.
So for most of your tower setups, which I see that on Drury, I see that on a lot of these, you know, a lot of these content companies where, you know, there's a food source, a tower blind, because they're easy to film out of, you know, in kind of
just
creating that perfect spot
too.
Yeah. And so you're creating that atmosphere where you've got a blind, you've got a water source. You put that like 20, 30, 40 yards from your blind.
Yeah. I mean, it depends. I would say, like, if you're getting talking food sources and tower blinds, what is becoming like super important is having those blinds mobile. And Kyle, the last buck that he killed this year in Illinois, he had a 360 blind that he bought a cheap trailer off Facebook Marketplace. He built a platform, put the blind on it, and he hunted this buck on the right days. And just depending on where the deer were coming out, he'd have to mow off corn. But him being mobile in that blind and being able to move it created the opportunity that he finally had to put that buck in bow range. And, you know, we got into talking about this and he's like, I will pretty much have all my blinds be mobile after that. If you're doing beans, because they eat the beans out, mm-hmm. if you're mowing corn or they eat the corn out, you need to move those if we're talking about bow hunting, which
yeah.
that's what most of us like to do.
One thing that I learned, it was from an individual that owned a farm over in Calhoun. Long story short, I ended up on his farm, helping him out with some stuff. He, through a third party, we all kind of pooled together and planted some food plots together.
Mm-hmm.
And then as a result of him planting, he wanted some help doing some fruit trees in his food plot areas. I got out there and he had some mobile blinds. And he said, once these deer get used to this blind, you can move it and they don't care.
Nope.
Because they're already used to it. It doesn't so much matter what area of the food source, whatever, what area the transition zone, if you're hunting them there and you have to make an adjustment, making that adjustment doesn't spook them because they're already used to that blind.
Right.
Which is so it's right under your nose. But then you, when you, you know, you kind of realize like, oh, I have this leeway. It's just bananas, the kind of results that that can drive.
Yep. So yeah. So your water holes, I mean, we're talking like October, November early on, but for like your late season hunts and stuff like that, those mobile blinds and being able to move them around, are, I mean, huge benefit.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And so, you guys with the deer ponds mm-hmm. have something going on at the Illinois Deer Classic coming
yeah,
up?
Yeah, so Pat Reeve, Pat and Nicole, Driven Outdoors, the TV show, he's going to be a speaker at the Illinois Deer Classic in Peoria, and Deer Ponds is also going to have a booth there. So if you'd like some more information, you may even catch me in the booth there or at the 360 booth at the Illinois Deer Classic. I'll be bumming around there. And it is Friday, March 21st to the 23rd. And yeah, you can learn some more information and get to see the products yourself. And I'm sure he's going to be doing some seminars that dive way deeper into the deer ponds than I can imagine. And this guy believed in it that much to invest in this company and do the whole rebranding. And they have a lot of footage to support their argument. So it'll okay. be cool to see.
And then, so you're the rep here local, right?
Yep.
So
yep.
anybody that goes to Peoria, to the Illinois Deer Classic, there's some great information that will be available to you either in the seminar or at the booth. If someone wants to get a hold of you locally regarding a deer pond or a 360 blind, how do they do that?
Yeah. Well, you guys can look me up on Facebook under Chris Walker, or I have Instagram and it is Walk CB as in boy. And, that's probably the easiest way to get a hold of me. And if you want to give me a call, my phone number is 217-622-1519.
All right. Cool. And then if somebody wants to see some of the hunts that you've done with the Whitetail Group, how do they look up that?
Yeah, so you can check out the Whitetail Group on YouTube. We have hunts on there, and then there's a lot of informational videos on there, just basically farm design, setting up farms and different strategies. Bobby is really good at breaking down strategies and delivering very informative content, so you can check that out. They also have a Facebook page and Instagram page under the Whitetail Group, and I encourage you guys to give it a check or check it out.
All right, well, hey man, thanks for sharing all the tips, info. It's been awesome to have you on.
Yeah, no, good to see you. And yeah, I feel like we have a lot more to talk about.
Oh yeah, yeah. We should set something up here where we talk about deer prep here in the next month or so, and kind of go in and talk about what we're doing to set up on these whitetails.
Yep, sounds good.
All right. Well, I appreciate it. Thanks again.